You're listening to The Gun Show with Matt Canovey on 1041 KSGF, Springfield's News Talk FM.
I know what you're thinking. Did he fire six shots or only five? Well, to tell you the truth, in all this excitement, I've kind of lost track myself. But Ian, this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky?
And we do feel lucky that you joined us here in the Gun Show, where we talk about pistols, revolvers, rifles, shotguns, ammunition, concealed carry, and personal defense training, as well as our beloved Second Amendment right to protect ourselves and our families. Folks, this morning, as always, we're going to open our phone lines to answer your firearms, ammunition, and personal defense questions. But in the meantime, Dee Wampler will join us to talk about the dramatic nationwide increase in firearms purchases for personal defense. And local attorney and firearms dealer Craig Heidman will join us. And he's going to talk about how to continue your firearms practice during the current ammo shortage. Then I'll be closing out the show revisiting why you need to implement a force continuum training program for your church security team. Before we get to this morning's topics, I want to let you know that we're proud to have U.S. Law Shield as a sponsor. They want to help us help you better protect yourself and your family. U.S. Law Shield, they're your legal defense for your self-defense. Because if you own a gun and you must defend yourself, you'll need U.S. Law Shield. When you join U.S. Law Shield, you'll have 24/7 emergency access to an attorney when you need it most. At U.S. Law Shield, you'll pay zero attorney's fees for criminal or civil proceedings for covered events, even for appeals. U.S. Law Shield has no caps or copays. Every U.S. Law Shield member gets the best program in the country for just $10.95 a month. That's $10.95 a month. Go to our website, Matt Canovey, right now, and click on the direct link. That's mattcanovey.com, and click on the direct link to U.S. Law Shield and sign up today. Remember, your freedom and your family's financial future depend on it. We also want to take a moment to let you know that our next $40 CCW class, that's $40, is Saturday, April 25th. And we have $50 practical handgun, rifle, active shooter, and home defense firearms courses available. All you need to do is go to our website, mattcanovey.com, to sign up for any of our courses. And while you're there, check out some of our free text training tips. Also, if you want to contact us this morning, you can go to the radio show website, thegunshowradio.com, or you can email me at matt@mattcanovey.com. Once again, that's matt@mattcanovey.com. And you can call or even text us this morning right here in the studio at 417-447-5743. That's 417-447-5743. Now, Dee Wampler and Craig and myself will be calling into the studio by phone, but our producer will be able to pick up those text calls and contacts. So please feel free to give us a call in the studio or text us at 417-447-5743. Right now, I need to get into our local crime stats. We're going to focus on, and we have been for the last few weeks, focus on just calls for shots fired. Now, our local crime stats are always brought to you by my very dear friend, Dee Wampler, Joe Passanisi, and Terry and Brenda at A-Advance Bail Bond. Now, we've got a total of 22 calls for shots fired from Saturday, March 28th, to Friday, April 3rd. Now, Saturday, we had two calls for shots fired. We had one at the, or should I say the first, at the 900 block of Homewood Avenue. Then we had our second call for shots fired at the 1400 block of East Whiteside. Then on Sunday, we had one call for shots fired, and that was the 2100 block of West Brower Street. Then on Monday, we actually had five calls for shots fired. First call was at the 2600 block of West Lincoln. Second was at the 1900 block of West Calhoun. Third was at the South New Avenue and West Stanford Street intersection. The next was at the 1400 block of West Lauren Street. And the final shot for that day was the 1200 block of Lindenwood Street. Then on Tuesday, we had three calls for shots fired. First call was at East Atlantic Street and North National Avenue. Second shot fired for that day was at North National Avenue and Atlantic Street, another one at the same location. Then it was finally a call for shots fired at East Cherry Street and South Glenstone Avenue. On Wednesday, we had six. First call for shots fired was on the 500 block of North Eldon Avenue. Second was at the 3300 block of West Timbercrest Street. Third was at the 3400 block of East Independence Street. The fourth was at the 4000 block of South Lone Pine Avenue. The fifth was at the 3900 block of South Mentor Avenue. And the sixth for that day, the final, was at the 600 block of West Downing Place. On Thursday, we had five calls for shots fired. First was at the 800 block of South Nettleton Avenue. Second was at the 700 block of West State Street. The third was at the 600 block of South Douglas Avenue. The fourth at the 2700 block of West Nichols Street. And we had another call for shots fired at 2700 West Nichols Street. And then finally that day, we had the final call at the 2700 block of East Kearney Street. Oh, I'm sorry, moving over. We have gone to the next page. Then we had a call for shots fired at West Chestnut Express and Northwest Bypass. Then we had another call for shots fired at the 200 block of East Atlantic Street. We had another call for shots fired at that same location, 200 East Atlantic Street. So we actually, for that day, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We actually had seven calls for shots fired on Thursday. And thank God, and I mean that, we had zero calls for shots fired yesterday on Friday. So that's your total calls for shots fired. Once again, folks, we're hopefully helping pop on the light bulb above your head and help you realize that Springfield is not the quiet little community it used to be. It's a growing big city with big city growing problems, and one of them is crime. Crime is running rampant, and part of the criminal environment is they have guns to protect themselves and they have guns to victimize you. That's why we've got such an increase for calls for shots fired and calls for shots heard. You need to protect yourself. Remember, if you hear any of these addresses that we discuss here on our crime stats on Saturday, and those addresses are coming up near your place of employment, where your kids go to school, where you live, where your kids frequent, where you frequent, you need to understand personal defense is in your hands. Remember, whenever crime is seconds away, law enforcement's always minutes away, and that's the way it's always going to be. Go to our website, mattkenobi.com, sign up for some of our classes, get a firearm, and get the training you need to help use the firearm effectively, safely, and legally. Now, Dee, since we're talking about firearms, there's been a dramatic increase nationwide in the number of firearms purchased for self-defense. Go ahead.
Yeah, Matt, it's not just a priority now for toilet paper. It's a priority for guns and ammunition. There's a spike, a surging of firearms being purchased across the nation everywhere. Firearms and ammo purchases as this virus spreads across the nation. And why not? People are interested in self-preservation. People want to feel safe. Right now, people don't particularly feel safe. They don't have a lot of faith right now in calling 911. They're fearful, and there's a lack of confidence in police response time, which is understandable in the situation that we're in now. They're talking about, in some areas, calling out the National Guard. They're talking about releasing some of the inmates from both state and federal prisons. We have, about 200,000 people in federal prisons. And we have a total of about 2.1 million people, maybe 2.2 million that are incarcerated all across the nation in county jails and state prisons and federal prisons. And there's talk about releasing, hopefully, a lot of the nonviolent inmates that are doing time. So, you know, abortion clinics are open. A lot of the marijuana stores are open. The gas stores are open, the groceries, pharmacies, laundromats, and guns. The gun stores, Matt, a lot of people probably don't know this. They're listening, but there is a statute. It's RSMO 44.101, and it says that the state of Missouri shall not prohibit or restrict the lawful possession, transfer, sale, transportation, storage, display, or use of firearms or ammunition during an emergency. Okay, that's a very short law. It was passed in 2017. I'm not sure who sponsored it and how it got passed, but the gun stores are open. And this statute says that the state of Missouri kind of puts any restrictions on guns on hold during an emergency.
Well, Dee, that's something I didn't know about. I applaud the legislators for pushing through that legislation, but I need to jump in real quick. I want to throw something out to you that's been on my mind. When they talk about, and as you mentioned a moment ago, they want to let these criminals out. Now, I understand they're worried about the prisoners being so confined that this virus could spread very quickly. But you can't have the cure worse than the disease. If you're throwing them out on the street, now, excuse me. Now, if you throw these criminals out, they open the door and they dump out a bunch of people on the street. Now, these people have no jobs. A lot of them have no place to go. A lot of them will just get right back into the criminal activity they were in that sent them to prison. So not only will our communities be fighting this virus, they'll also be fighting a surge and an increase in criminal activity and victimization by the people that the government let out of jail. So how is that a good thing for society? To me, it just makes no sense to let these people out of jail. I understand their plight, but the bottom line is it's going to cause more problems for innocent people on the street. Folks, I need you to think about that. We're going to step into a break. We'll pick it up on the other side. I'm Matt Canovey. This is your Gun Show on 104.1 KSGF, Springfield's News Talk FM.
So if you're coming for my guns, come and get them some. Go on and take them if you think you can.
Folks, welcome back. I'm Matt Canovey. This is your Gun Show. I've got Dee Wamper on the line. I want to let you know that Dee Wamper's segment is always brought to you by my very good friend, former firearms student and a great Christian business owner, Scott Estes, and his knowledgeable staff at Wildcat Tool Rental. Go to wildcattoolrental.com for all your tool rental needs. Dee, I know this segment is going to be a little bit short because we ran a little long on the last segment, but I do want to throw the mic back over to you for some last comments. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's a tremendous increase in the NICS system, the National Instant Criminal Background Check System, a tremendous increase. It's like 2.8 million people, the legal people, law-abiding citizens, ask for permission to buy a firearm just in February, okay? And there's a 36 to 38% increase in February compared to February of 2019, a year ago. It is unbelievable. In the little state of Delaware, where, Biden is from that area up there, and there's a 4,500% increase in the last 3 weeks of new gun purchasers. All right, these are law-abiding people that want security, and many of them are first-time owners. So, I think Trump is doing a good job, Matt. I don't think there's anybody that would want to trade positions with him right now. He's doing a good job, but rest assured, Nancy Pelosi, Matt, has said that she's going to start an investigation of President Trump possibly with a view towards impeaching him, to investigate him over his handling of this Chinese virus pandemic. So, you know, that's something to look forward to in the future. But right now we're all hunkered down, and hopefully everybody is going to stay safe out there. And I'm alarmed over all of the shootings, many of them in the south and east parts of Springfield, which traditionally have always thought to be a little bit safer. But it's happening. It's happening everywhere. And, Matt, more and more of these shots fired are hitting targets. That's what's really bad. People are being wounded and killed out there. And so everybody stay safe. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks so much, Dee. We appreciate it. Ms. Producer, do we have to step into a break? Okay, we got a few minutes. Well, let me go ahead and talk a little. Well, we've got a caller on the line. Ms. Producer, who do we have online? Rufus. Go ahead and put Rufus on. Rufus, thank you much. Thank you so much, my friend, for contacting us this morning. Are you staying safe out there?
Well, I'm trying to say, I wonder, you know, what the... anyway, what the lawyers talked about a while ago there was that they released all these prisoners from jails and stuff, and felons, rapists, child molesters, they let go in Philadelphia just the other day. You know, what's going to happen is it's going to be people don't remember the history, because history shows us that back where the law can't do it, there are vigilantes for them. I just got a feeling that's what's going to happen here if this carries on much longer, because people are not going to stand for their families being attacked in any way, shape, or form without retaliation. And
Rufus, that is something that I did comment on a moment ago, and I'm in total agreement with you. The cure can't be worse than the disease. And if you're thinking that, or if the legislators think the cure is dumping these people back out on the street, that's going to be good for them. It's going to be detrimental to society because of the reasons you just said. Now, even though they're saying they're putting out nonviolent, all right, let's say just for the sake of argument here, that they keep the rapists and child molesters in. Let's say they do. Well, they dump a bunch of people in out on the street that are involved, that were involved in drugs, and that's what sent them to jail. Now you get them on the street again. They've got no job. They still got their habit. They're going to get right back into dope, which means they got to steal from you and rob from you to supply their dope habit and fuel the drug system, the drug business. So they're going to go right back into victimizing the people in the community. It's not a the people in the community have to worry about the virus and being victimized, even more so because the government dumped out a bunch of these parasites onto society. I think it's ridiculous. I'm totally against it, but sometimes you just have to swallow hard and just keep going on with what you got to go on with. Ms. Producer, fantastic. I'm going to go ahead and, Ms. Producer, do we need to step into a break? Okay, we got a few minutes. I know we've got Craig on the line back at the studio. I'd like Craig to go ahead. Ms. Producer, tell Craig to just hang on. We're going to go step into a break. Can we step into the break a little early? That way we give a few more minutes for Craig. All right, let's step into the break early. We're going to pick it up on the other side with Craig Heidemann. Craig's going to be talking about how to keep up continue your firearms practice during the current ammo shortage. So stick around. I'm Matt Canovi. This is your gun show on 104.1 KSGF, Springfield's News Talk FM. Folks, welcome back. I've got Craig Heidemann on the line, and he's going to be talking about how to continue your firearms practice during the current ammo shortage. Before I throw the mic over to Craig, I do need to let you know that Craig's segment is brought to you by my very good friend, once again, former firearms student, and once again, great Christian business owner Don Carricker and his knowledgeable staff. Go to iwantagreathomeloan.com for all your home loan needs. That's iwantagreathomeloan.com, because you know darn good and well you do. Now, before I throw it over to Craig, I do need to throw this out on Don's behalf and his staff. They have a 5-star approval rating. 5-star. That's incredible for a business. Check out this review. You guys made this process as streamlined and pain-free as possible. Thank you for your patience, your prompt answers to questions, and the way you followed through to the end. That's the kind of service you get from Don Carrick and his staff at IWantAGreatHomeLoan.com, because you know darn good and well you do. Craig, thanks so much for calling in today, and you're going to talk about how to continue firearms practice during the current ammo shortage. Go ahead.
Yeah, Matt, it's interesting times that we're living in. So let me set the stage. I spent about an hour last night online surfing the inventory availability for all of my wholesalers. And I've got access to about 8 or 10 separate wholesalers. And there is not a round of .22 caliber ammo to be bought. There's not a round of 9mm ammo to be bought. There's not a round of 5.56, 223 ammunition to be bought. There's not a round of 7.62 by 39, which is your AK ammunition. The only thing that was available was 5.45 by 39, which is the AK-74 ammo, and it's just gone. Now, not everybody is seeing that on gun store shelves, if you can get into a gun store. The folks need to be aware there is an ammo shortage. There's been a run on ammunition. I attribute it to a couple of things. Number one, the increase in firearms purchases is forcing people to buy the ammunition that they need to feed those guns. And then there's been a wave of panic buying. Now, history is a good teacher. And history tells us that back in 2008, there was a massive ammunition shortage when Barack Obama was elected president. It was triggered by the thought that he was going to ban firearm sales in the United States or ammunition sales. There was another run on ammunition back in 2012 after the Sandy Hook shooting, under the perceived belief that Congress and state governments were going to ban guns and ammunition after that mass tragedy. And the ammunition manufacturers, they manufacture ammunition nearly 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as it is, to feed our current appetite. And right now, with this run on ammunition, folks aren't going to see a regular supply of ammunition on the shelves probably for another 2 years. So that's going to impact how we practice. In addition, indoor ranges have changed their policies and are closing down. They're making you buy your goods like at Cherokee out front, and they bring things out to you. They're not allowing you to use the indoor ranges. Right now, the only ranges that are open are the outdoor ranges. So what's that leave a person to do to practice their skills? Well, what we used to say during the first ammo shortage is get a .22 caliber conversion or the .22 caliber version of the pistol that you carry and practice with that, because .22 ammo was available. You can easily get a .22 caliber conversion for an AR, and Glock is making new .22 caliber pistols. Smith & Wesson has had the M&P 22 for a number of years. So practicing with a pistol that has the same configuration as your carry pistol, or as close as you can get, allows you to use the ammo that you have on hand to continue to practice your trigger press, your grip, your sight alignment, your draw. But if you aren't prepared and you didn't have .22 caliber ammunition or 9mm ammunition or even your regular caliber on stock, in stock at home, that's just going to kind of lead you to dry firing. Dry firing is where you take all of the ammunition that's in your gun, all of the ammunition that's on your body, and you put it in another room. You don't have any ammunition in the room when you dry fire. And then you can place a target on the wall, and you practice drawing your pistol from a concealed or non-concealed, if you don't conceal carry, we recommend that you do, location. And you practice your grip, your draw, your trigger press, scanning for additional adversaries, if that's what you've been trained to do. Dry firing is about the only thing that you can practice doing. Now, folks, don't forget, you can practice dry firing with your rifle as well as your pistol. Now, folks don't realize that competitive shooters and professional shooters, they dry fire all the time. Dry firing helps you with speed. It helps you with muscle memory. It helps you with accuracy. And it is it really needs to be part of everybody's training regimen, whether there's an ammo shortage or not. Now, let's talk about this ammo shortage. I don't know what is driving the panic. Is it just, I can't have it, so I've got to go buy it? Is it truly people fearing that there's going to be societal collapse and they're going to be their own police force? What are your thoughts on that, Matt? What do you think is triggering the panic buying of ammunition?
Well, Craig, you said it before. History is a great teacher. And back when everybody thought the economy was going to collapse several years ago, people were buying up everything they could, guns, ammo, food, and it didn't happen. And I think that's what's happening now. People are concerned that there's going to be some sort of martial law, or there's going to be some sort of collapse of society, and that's why they're running out, grabbing the food they can. We see that by the stores. For a while, a lot of the shelves were empty. You couldn't even buy toilet paper, for gosh sake. So I think it's a lot of panic buying. People are jumping in on that. They think that, well, I need to get a gun. I need to get ammunition for personal defense. Otherwise, somebody will come in and steal all the food and toilet paper that I've been hoarding for my family. So I really think that's all it is, just panic buying. I don't think it's going to go that way. I think you'll agree with me. What do you say?
Well, I definitely don't think it's going to go that way. But what happens is people making these panic purchase decisions create shortages that are going to last not just for weeks or months, but for years. After the 2012 run on ammunition, 22 caliber ammunition wasn't readily available for over 2 years. And that's the most popular caliber ammunition in the United States. More 22 rounds are shot each year than any other rounds. And what we found afterwards was a permanent price increase. So we're just hurting ourselves, folks, by buying stuff that we don't need. Obviously, you know, if you don't have 500 or 1,000 rounds of 22 ammo and you want to go get some, God bless you, go get some. But don't clean the shelves out if there aren't limits at the store. Leave some for someone else that might need it to put food on the table or somebody else that might need it to protect themselves. So that's my thoughts on that, Matt.
Craig, you're exactly right. I tell you what, we've got a few more minutes, so let me expound on that. I knew people back when they thought the society was going to collapse, and I even put on some of the preparedness expos that were going on, and I talked to a lot of these people, and they were bragging about how they were going to the stores and buying out everything they could, or if they had a limit on how many boxes of 22 ammo they could buy, they'd have their wife and their son behind them so they could just clean it out. And when I asked them, why are you doing that? They were saying, well, in case things go bad, I want to have enough. And I'm like, for gosh sakes, one of the guys told me he had 20,000 rounds of 22 ammo. I'm thinking, Laura, what do you think you're going to do, fight the American military? That's not going to happen. Be realistic. And it's like you said, now he was taking that ammo from other people who could need it to put food on the table or protect their families. And another thing I had them always tell me is that I'm totally against. They'd say, well, you could go ahead. If you've got ammo, you could always barter. Use ammunition to barter for something else you need. And I said, now think about this a minute. If it got that bad, do I really want to give somebody ammunition for something? Now he could use that ammunition to come back and take everything I've got. So why would I want to give him ammunition for anything? Why would I want to use it for barter? That didn't make sense.
The other thing folks are doing with the ammunition is they're reselling it. There's a massive, massive gray market in ammunition, and opportunistic scumbags buy up all of the ammunition, double the price on it, and sell it online. And unfortunately, there's people foolish enough to pay these exorbitant prices for the ammunition online because they're so worried about not having some. And so that kind of price gouging is rampant on GunBroker, online, and any other place that you can buy ammunition online. And that's what these folks are doing. They're not buying it up for their personal use. They're buying it up to make a profit during a time of crisis, and I think that that's reprehensible.
Oh, yeah, my friend, I agree. I own a business. You know, I'm an entrepreneur. I believe in
you know, free enterprise, and, you know, it's buy low, sell high, make a profit. Okay, I can see that. But there comes a point when you're just unethical and gouging people. And this is why people need to plan ahead. They need to plan ahead so that they have the supply of ammunition they need. As you said, and Craig, I've told people before, if you've got 500 rounds per caliber of gun you got, if you've got that much, you've got plenty of ammo to defend yourself. Remember, you're not going to fight off the American military. I don't care what armament you have. It's not going to stop the Abrams tank that's going to pull up in your front yard. So if you think you're buying ammo to fight the American government, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. It's just for personal defense. Craig, my producer is saying we need to step into a break. I want to thank you for your time, folks. I want to ask you to stick around through the break, pick it up on the other side. I'm going to talk about church force continuum training for your church security team, so stay tuned. I'm Matt Canovey. This is your Gun Show on 104.1 KSGF, Springfield's News Talk FM.
Back to the Gun Show with Matt Canovey on 1041 KSGF, Springfield's News Talk.
Welcome back. We're down to about the last 8 or 10 minutes of the show, and I want to get into how to implement a force continuum training program for your church security team. This is something near and dear to my heart. We offer church security training programs, not courses, but an entire program, and you need the entire package if you want to really protect the members of your team, your facility, the people who patronize your facility, as well as those that run it, manage it, your pastors and deacons. So it's a bigger project than most people realize. Before we get into that topic, I do want to take a moment to let you know that this topic is brought to you by our very good friends at U.S. Law Shield. They're sponsoring this segment, and they want you to remember, they're your legal defense for your self-defense. All right. What is a force continuum? For those of you who have been listening to the show for a while, we've talked about this in the past. For those of you who are recently dialing in or missed it back then, a force continuum is how you use force from one level to another. Okay, this was developed through law enforcement and the private security sector years ago, and they set up guidelines to use force from the lowest level to the highest level. And this helped prevent, will help prevent, and did help prevent excessive uses of force. So in other words, what force is needed at what time? Okay, for example, years ago in St. Louis City area where I came from, law enforcement, they'd have their nightstick, okay, their baton. And years ago, if something happened and they walked up to you, for example, and you threw a cigarette butt down on the ground, and it was a no-littering area, and they said, hey, pick up the cigarette butt. And the guy said, no, I'm not going to. The cop would take the stick and hit you over the head with it. And I'm not being sarcastic about that. That's what they would do. Well, obviously, anytime you hit somebody in the head with an object like a club, which is what that baton was, that's deadly force. So here you're using a level of deadly force against somebody who threw a cigarette butt down. So the imbalance in the amount of force that was needed for that situation ended up getting law enforcement in a lot of lawsuits. Well, and justifiably so. So what happened is law enforcement, they said, hey, look, we need to establish a force continuum. In other words, how should the officer communicate, and how should your church security personnel communicate with people from the lowest level of force to the highest level? Let's set up a little and give them some training so they're not going right from, okay, I tell you to pick up the cigarette, you didn't, I'm not now using deadly force on you. You've got to have the right balance. Now, the same thing is true with church security. Here's the problem with church security, similar to what it used to be years ago in law enforcement. Okay, years ago in law enforcement, they had the gun, they had the club. Okay, that was it. You didn't have any other option. So the cop either talked to you, that didn't work, so he'd use a club or the gun on you. And they ended up getting in a lot of trouble. A lot of churches, they have people with well-meaning people who have little or no gun training. They have nothing but their verbal communication skills, which may or may not be very good. No de-escalation training whatsoever in their skills, verbal communication skills. So all they've got is we talk to them or we pull the gun. So does anybody see the disparity in the amount of force used? I either talk to them or I get scared enough and I pull my gun. And once you pull the gun, it may or may not be legally justified if they don't have the right training. Now they open themselves up to hurt somebody that shouldn't have been hurt, to deliver a level of force that wasn't needed at that particular time. Therefore, they end up getting criminally prosecuted, civilly prosecuted. The churches open up for all types of litigation. And also the church security supervisor, the team leader, is open for the same liability when it comes to civil prosecution. So this is what you have to understand. A force continuum should include something in between. I'm going to talk to him or I'm going to pull a gun. That's why we, in our force continuum that we train and offer at our Canovian Associates training program, church security training program, is we talk about physical presence. That's the first step of the six-step force continuum. Your physical presence, how to communicate without saying a word, body positioning, outnumbering the suspect, okay, outnumbering them, how you position your body, one person to talker, one person to watcher, always 2-on-1, 4-on-2, 6-on-3, always outnumber, because that sends a message that whoever you're talking to, if they do want to escalate the level of force, they can't win. The right body positioning, one person's in front, one person's at a 90-degree angle from their flank on the suspect. Therefore, the suspect realizes I can't win because if I attack to the front, I'm going to be attacked from the side and vice versa. Then you give them communication skills, how they talk. Let them know that there are de-escalation techniques. There are ways to communicate. You don't have to come down and be Mean Gene. How do you communicate? How about introduce yourself? Ask them how you can help. Explain to them if they're on private property, that is private property. You have the authority on that private property because you're with church security. You're telling them they're on private property and you're telling them they have to leave private property. Then if they refuse, you call law enforcement, let law enforcement handle it. Wash your hands of any civil or criminal liability. Law enforcement comes in, you've established the elements of the crime of trespassing on private property, class A misdemeanor, policemen arrest them or take them away, whatever. Now that solves your problem. Next level of the force continuum, because I'm trying to be brief here because we're running out of time, is wrist locks, arm bars. There are certain control holds. No punches, no kicks, no headlocks, doing any of this silly stuff you used to do on the playground when you were a kid. All of that has a great chance of causing some sort of serious physical injury. If you cause serious physical injury, or what you're doing could cause serious physical injury, that's equal to deadly force, because the definition of serious physical injury is part of the definition of deadly force. Now let that sink in for a minute. Okay, a lot of guys think, well, I know what I'll do. I'll just punch him right in the head. All right, well, a friend of mine did that one time years ago when I was in the military. And he hit some guy over the eyebrow, and it caved in his orbital socket. And this guy had to go in and had to be operated on and had to have that rebuilt. So that was one punch, and that's what it took. And that's the damage it did. That's deadly force. Now, he could have been locked up and prosecuted. It was in a military situation, so that never happened. But in a civilian setting like your church security, that will happen. So you want to make sure your church security team has training in other than kicks, blows, and headlocks. Okay, so some sort of wrist lock, arm bar, something that's going to be able to control the individual, but still not reach the level of serious physical injury. Also, you want to have pepper sprays. You want to have tasers. You got to have training in pepper sprays, training in the tasers. They've got aftermarket tasers that work just as good as law enforcement, very effective, lower cost. And you need to understand that these are steps of a six-step force continuum leading all the way up to step six, which is deadly force. So you need to get involved in a force continuum program. Go to our website, mattcanovi.com. Check out our church security training program. Take a look at our force continuum. give me a call at 636-259-0267, 636-259-0267, or go ahead and give me an email at matt@mattkenobi.com if you want some more information. If your church doesn't have some sort of force continuum, you're opening yourself, your church, and your members to civil liability, as well as your team members to criminal prosecution. Think about this for a minute, folks. You need to have training in how to respond. Otherwise, people are going to respond without training, and that's what opens the door for the civil liability and this criminal prosecution. The force continuum is essential. It's helped law enforcement better communicate with society, better communicate with the community, have less complaints, have less lawsuits, less civil liability. The same is true for church security. Remember, if you've got nothing but I talk to them or I pull the gun, you need something in between. That's what the force continuum is. And most situations can be handled with the right de-escalation communication skills. That's part of any good force continuum program. We have that in our force continuum. Can't tell you enough, if you're listening to me now and you're a member of a church security team that does not have a force continuum, contact us. If you're the team member of a church security team and your team doesn't have the right training in a force continuum, contact us. Don't put it off. Otherwise, you're putting your church and your administration in the trick bag for civil or criminal liability. Remember, you need to be a good shepherd of your blessings. That's the resources that are put into the church by the members. The finances they put in, the property they maintain, all of that can be in jeopardy in a civil or criminal prosecution.